Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on this morning with Sam Jacobson, a senior equity research analyst at Associated Bank. Sam, good morning and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Our conversation this morning is going to focus on the mainstreaming of cryptocurrency, particularly Bitcoin, in the first part of our conversation this morning. I know there have been several high-profile announcements so far in 2021 revolving around Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, a couple of big companies, Tesla among them, MasterCard, and I know BNY Mellon, and I think we heard from PayPal this week too. But let's start first by talking about that. It does feel like this whole, you know, discussion is accelerating, and these big companies are at the forefront of that.
Yeah, that's really true. That's really accelerated so far in 2021. And I really view it as having kind of two components. One would be the increased mainstreaming or excitement around cryptocurrency, and particularly Bitcoin, as a payments method, and then also as a store of value investment. So it's kind of multifaceted. But as you mentioned, those companies like MasterCard and PayPal, for instance, we had PayPal announce that they're going to be allowing their customers to convert their cryptocurrencies into fiat currencies and complete transactions at their merchants starting now and facilitating that over the next couple of months. So, yeah, you've heard the likes of MasterCard and Visa and Bank of New York Mellon start talking about accepting cryptocurrencies on their networks as well. And like you said, Tesla allowing customers to use Bitcoin specifically to pay for their vehicles. So, yeah, there's a real momentum around increased acceptance as payment method. But like I said, also there's that increased momentum or positivity around Bitcoin as a store of value kind of investment. And there you're starting to actually see corporate involvement as well. For instance, an organization called MicroStrategy, they've actually issued convertible debt, $900 million worth of convertible debt, with the stated purpose of buying Bitcoin for long-term holding. So I think that that store of value side of the mainstreaming is really what's driven the price up on Bitcoin from where we were last fall, around 10,000, to kind of where we are now in the high $50,000 range.
You mentioned Tesla earlier. I mean, not only are they allowing people to buy their cars with Bitcoin, but I know Tesla has bought nearly $1 billion or maybe $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin itself, investing in that. So it's not just allowing the use of the Bitcoin, but they're putting their money where their mouth is as well on that.
Yeah, with Tesla, it's dual there. The reason that they're buying Bitcoin is one half to be able to facilitate transactions with their customers in Bitcoin, to have something in their treasury. But also they do view it as a better use or a better return profile than cash on their balance sheet.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit, Sam, about the original intent of Bitcoin versus this mainstreaming that we've been talking about now. It's a little different from how it was originally started, right?
Yeah, correct. You know, that's a really interesting aspect of the mainstreaming that we're seeing right now with the increased involvement of traditional financial institutions. You know, Bitcoin was really created with the vision of being a completely decentralized payment system. You know, in fact, the original white paper back in 2009 is literally called Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash system, and talks about a purely peer-to-peer version of payments without going through any financial institutions. That was quite literally the whole point of Bitcoin. So all these announcements and kind of mainstreaming efforts, it really runs against the original premise of that decentralized payment system. And, you know, what does that really say about where we are here? You know, technologies do evolve over time, but I think how much of the mainstreaming that we're seeing is, you know, perhaps opportunism versus an actual evolution of of what cryptocurrency is or could become really remains to be seen, because there's many, many uncertainties about the evolution of crypto from here.
As the mainstreaming continues and we are pushing forward with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, there are still some voices out there sounding, I don't necessarily say an alarm, but talking about the uncertainty about cryptocurrency. One of them was the former Federal Reserve Chair and the current Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, talking about how extremely inefficient Bitcoin is, and a little bit of a warning from her about that. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we've seen some kind of high-profile talking points from both Yellen and Powell as well, calling just cryptocurrencies in general highly speculative or, you know, inefficient in how transactions are conducted. And they are certainly correct there that the transactions are not efficient as a payment method versus how other transactions are processed electronically at the moment. I mean, for instance, on Bitcoin transactions, the average fee you're talking about is $20 US dollars when converted from Bitcoin to dollars per transaction. And that equates to roughly 13% of a normal, of an average transaction size. So obviously that is not very efficient. And an average transaction time of 11 minutes is not very efficient. You know, that's, those things are actually the, you know, the opposite of efficiency. So they're right to call that out. But, you know, their comments are calling it out from an efficiency standpoint and a payment front, but also, you know, I guess maybe more forcefully on the store of value investment front, with the comments of it being highly speculative, being not backed by anything, or Powell, you know, coming out and specifically calling it a speculative asset. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Powell went a little bit further, the current Federal Reserve Chair, talking about how the Fed has been working on its own payment systems in recent years and, you know, trying to move up the transfer of money, trying to make it faster. So there's a competing notion there, isn't there, between the Fed and this Bitcoin movement?
Yeah, in general, what he's talking about is kind of twofold. There's the FedNow system, which is going to start to be introduced in 2023, I believe. And that's more of an effort to make the current system work faster. It's not necessarily, that system is not introducing digital currencies, it's just facilitating more real-time payments. But in addition to that, there's also a lot of talk recently about central bank digital currencies, and a lot of central banks around the world exploring that potential as a way to potentially facilitate faster payments or real-time payments. But Powell has kind of said that while they're looking at it, it's not something that they're rushing to do, and it may not be something that's necessary if you can get the current systems to operate more efficiently in a real-time payments kind of framework.
Yeah, the Boston Fed and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have been working on a central bank digital currency. Is that going to be completely different from Bitcoin? Is that the idea there?
Yes. I mean, the idea, you have to differentiate between non-governmental cryptocurrencies and a central bank digital currency. So, you know, I think long term, there's a real, if you do start getting central bank digital currencies introduced as a way for governments to help facilitate real-time payments, there's a real question long term on whether or not non-governmental cryptocurrencies really have any sort of use case as a currency if those central bank digital currencies are introduced long term.
Mm-hmm. Back to the inefficiency part of this, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, but the mining of Bitcoin requires so much computer power that the electric consumption is really through the roof, isn't it? I mean, that's part of the inefficiency of this cryptocurrency, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of IT money put into creating the mining efforts themselves, and then a lot of money and energy that's spent on operating those mining operations. So that's certainly part of the inefficiency argument, for sure.
Sam, this all brings us to, you know, the million-dollar question for you, and that is, do you recommend that clients invest in cryptocurrency? Is that where we should be putting some of our money right now, or no?
Yeah, well, I would say first that at Associated, we try to keep an open mind when we're researching a topic, particularly me when I'm researching topics in technology, because it's a fast-paced, you know, environment, potentially where there's disruptive innovation. But keeping an open mind doesn't mean jumping right in and recommending something like clients investing in crypto. And in short, we do not recommend that clients invest in cryptocurrency. You know, clients really place their trust in us. And we're just not comfortable telling a client to invest in something like Bitcoin when if they turn around and ask us, all right, so what do you think Bitcoin is worth? And our answer would be simply, well, whatever somebody else will pay for it. That's not really where we want to operate, as opposed to doing fundamental research on something like individual stocks or bonds or, you know, assets where there are actual cash flow streams behind them that can facilitate their valuation.
Part of the conversation is serious, but there's also an unserious part of this as well. And I'm referring to Dogecoin, back to Elon Musk and Tesla. You know, as much as we talk about the seriousness of Bitcoin and this idea of moving cryptocurrency forward, you have the story of Dogecoin and how it, for lack of a better way to describe it, seems to be a joke.
Yes, certainly. Dogecoin was started as a joke, and you know, those Elon Musk tweets really show, like you said, one of the fundamentally unserious aspects of all this. He tweeted something about Dogecoin a couple of times and actually moved the price up nearly 10x in a matter of 10 days earlier this year. And another aspect of how kind of fundamentally unserious that is, you know, when asked about it later, Musk kind of said, well, these tweets about Dogecoin are really just meant to be jokes. But, you know, at the same time, the investor community, at least the crypto investor community, certainly is not taking them as jokes. If you're moving a cryptocurrency up 10x in 10 days, that's not a joke, right? So the whole kind of situation, both some of those tweets and then kind of the crypto investor community reaction to them, that whole situation is kind of fundamentally unserious. And it's not even just isolated to Dogecoin. You know, the Elon Musk tweets can move Bitcoin as well. And in all of this, there's rumored to be some SEC investigations into these kind of tweets moving the crypto markets as well.
At the very least, it's an indication that as an investor, a serious investor, we might want to slow down and weigh all of this very seriously.
Definitely. You know, focusing solely on the fundamentally unserious aspects of it isn't taking, you know, the serious look at the broader picture that this necessitates. But at the same time, it's really important to acknowledge the fundamentally unserious aspects of it and take that as a warning.
Sam, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. Well, I think the best method would be to email me. My email address is samuel.jacobson@associatedbank. That's samuel.jacobson@associatedbank.com.
All right, Sam. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.